हरि ओ श्रीवासरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11 states, learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth calls this non-dual substance Brahman, Parama, and Bhagavan. So in other words, there's Krishna, and he has these three manifestations, but they're non-dual, right? But then there's Krishna and his creation, right? So also he's non-different from his creation, so you can say he's non-dual, meaning he is the total. It's just a matter of, if you have means if you have energetic, you automatically have energy. If you have a generator, you have energy. So it's not that they're separate, because the generator can exist without manifesting the energy, right? But in its natural, activity, generator is electricity is generated. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, but within himself, there are these three manifestations. So this non-dual can mean within himself and his expansions, or it can also mean him and his creation. Right? But there's a difference, right? Because there's something different in the mood or some other aspect like that. So that's what's important. But it's not that, yeah. But at the same time, there's a oneness, because he is everything. And that's important to be able to accommodate. Otherwise, then so many mundane concepts come up because of the inability to accommodate that, you know, it's all one, right? But not meaning the exclusive monistic. It just means that is an aspect. You know, you can say the mother, the father, and the child are one as a family, right? Within the family, they are one's the mother, one's the father, one's the child, right? You know, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So you always have this same thing. There's one and different. Mm-hmm. Right, if you say they're people, then they're different people. Mm-hmm. If you're saying they're family, they're one. You know, it's like, so it just depends how you're looking at this.
So Maharaj, in Buddhist philosophy, with this Achintya Bhedabhata advice, it's very easy?
Yes, it's very easy.
But for the other parampara, how can
they don't need to deal so much, because see, is this the element of the overlap. So we're dealing with an aspect of the overlap between, means you have the spiritual nature of the material nature. Right? Now, spiritual nature is, everything's connected to Krishna. Material nature means, by consciousness, nothing's connected. Right? Though, ultimately, everything is connected. So now, the activities you're going to take up within the material sphere, as sadhana, to get yourself to the point of love of God, and the practices that you would be performing after obtaining love of God basically are the same, right? In other words, they'll be following the rules and regulations of Varnashram, and so they're going to be, and within that, then you have your sadhana. So now that same sadhana, that same Varnashram, is going to be present in Vaikuntha. So there's no real need. There is material life, which is not based on these principles, and spiritual life. And so the only difference, like, okay, you have the pious person, and so the pious person is following Varnashram, but he's not doing it in connection with the Lord. So it's not devotional service. So it's also still obvious, right? But for us, then, there's the following of that, but because the Braja Bhakti doesn't necessitate that Varnashram is being practiced because of its form as rules, that it's not the form of regulation, is not the nature of the devotion. It's not the expression, you know, the primary expression, or the expression at all. It's that it creates a structure so that there is common ground for interaction, because you can only have a relationship if there's something common, right? So if all the children, all the boy, male children of the village, then, you know, at this particular age start taking the calves out, then that means there's a forum for Krishna to go out with his cowherd boyfriends. You understand? Does that make sense? If the mothers stay at home, that means Krishna go out with the cowherd boys and just be with them, right? Because there's a lot of difference if it's just the boys and you're playing a game, and the boys are there and their moms are there watching also. You know, you can't be as free and wild and crazy, right? So, you know, you get the complete taste that way. But when he's at home, then it's like you have rules, you have respect, you have, you know, this element of seniority. Therefore, the cowherd boys have to behave themselves and be very, you know, externally formal in their dealings in Mother Jashoda's house, because then the whole thing is the parental ras is the prominent. But parental ras means children, so there's not a problem in children being around if your child's there. It just expands that. You understand? So it's they are friendly. You know what I'm saying? Like that. But let's say the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls, then they're two different worlds. And they function separately. They don't get in the way of each other. So they're neutral. Right? But parental ras and conjugal ras, they're opposed to each other. Because when the parental ras is present, there can't be any conjugal ras. So when the gopis are in Mother Jashoda's house, they can't manifest their relationship at all. It has to be very hidden. Does that make sense? Yeah. So these kind of elements, then you're adding in all these other rasas that in Vaikuntha you don't have. So there it's just everybody's in servitorship, and so therefore they serve through the medium of the rules and regulations. So your sadhana and your perfection, I think it's called sadhya, I think. Sadhana and sadhya are the same. But for us, they're different. You know, so you have this overlap. But at the same time, it's that they're different, but at the same time, they're non-different. Because the form is still there. It means the varnashram that's there in Vaikuntha is just an expansion of what's already going on in Vrindavan, right, in Goloka. It's the same thing. It's just increasing the nature of the moves. So it becomes more and more formal. So it becomes more and more structured. But the structure is already there in Vrindavan. But it's just there to kind of like hold it together. You know what I'm saying? It's like the difference in, let's say, some friends are playing a game. Some rules are this, something this and that. Nobody cares. They're just having a good time. But let's say if you're having an official tournament, then everything's about the rules exact, and somebody's there with the book and brings out something that, you know, in 1932 was established and everybody didn't know about it, and so therefore you thought you won the game, but actually you lost. You know, all those kinds of things. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it does. It works for the others. It's very clear, it's very easy, very straightforward. Right? Because also these others are working on the brink where you are coming in contact directly with the atheistic or non-Vedic elements, and that you're having to establish it like that. Well, the Gaudiya is already, the Vedic has been established. Right? Well, does that make sense? You know, so Madhva and that. Yeah.
Okay.
The following verse, okay, so then that ends that aspect of the world. Word loke signifies in the Purusha Agama the Smriti scriptures, as confirmed in the Nirukti dictionary. Lokyate Vedarto Nena. The purpose of the Vedas is explained in the Smriti scriptures. Right? And so the Bhagavatam is then giving the purport, the Brahman Paramatma Bhagavan are the same. Right? Like that. They're non-dual. Like that. So the point is it's Bhagavan, the person, and his effulgence is Brahman, and his expansion is Paramatma. So the next part of the purport. The following verse appears in the Vedas, Chandogya Upanishad 8.12.3. Tavad esha samprasado mach charirat samuttaya param jyoti rupam sampadya svena rupena bhini spadyate sa uttama purusha. The super soul coming out of the body enters the impersonal Brahma jyoti. Then in his form he remains in a spiritual identity. That supreme is called the Supreme Personality. This means that the Supreme Personality is exhibiting and diffusing his spiritual effulgence, which is the ultimate illumination. So, I mean, in other words, we're saying the Lord, they're looking at it this way, is the Lord comes out of the heart, so this Chandogya, and then goes into the Brahman. Right? So now the impersonalists, what happens at this point in time, having heard this?
It didn't flip.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, but that's just saying, hearing this, what will they, right, hairs stand on end, you know, all kinds of ecstatic symbols, right? You know, here it is.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The point is, where's the Brahma Jyoti coming from?
Yes.
The Lord. So it just means the Paramatma goes back into Krishna. Because Krishna's already there, and the effulgence is coming from him. So Krishna expands as the Paramatma. But we're only looking at it this way. So we think, does that make sense? If he goes back into the Brahma Jyoti, as Brahma Jyoti was there first, so now he goes back into that supreme position. Right? So the Paramatma is just a manifestation of Brahman. But no, it's Brahman's a manifestation of the personality of God, and the personality expands, localized as Paramatma. You understand? Yes.
Who, the Mayavadis, who do they say has written the Vedas? Isn't it kind of a paradox?
That's a good point.
What is that?
I don't know. We'll have to check it out. Where, because they accept Shabda. They accept its authority.
Yeah, exactly.
But generally they tend to avoid, you know, for this purpose, the Parusha Agama, as confirmed, means the purpose of the Vedas explained in the Smriti scriptures. So if you want to avoid the actual purpose, what do you avoid?
The Smriti.
The Smriti. So therefore they stick just to Veda. Yeah. So then specifically that means Upanishads. Yeah. Because then in the Upanishads you get these kind of points that you can just stop at that point and just focus on that. Like Om Tat Sat, so Tat Famasi, I am that. But doesn't mean I am that means I am the Supreme Brahman. Means I am that means I am Brahman.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not the body, I am that. Because there's this, which means the material, and there's that, which means the spiritual. Right? Because the Vedas are always talking this and that.
But
so I am that. But I am not the total that. I am, you know, that meaning I'm from there. Just like if I say, you know, are you this, you know, from this country, or are you from that country? And you say that doesn't mean you are, you know, Denmark, you know, like that. You know, so it means you're part of that.
So how did they switch Om Tat Sat to...
They just made it a Mahavakya when it's not.
So they just made that up?
No. Om Tat means it's there, but it's just something that's important. It means you have so many things. Like, let's say, you know, in cooking you have a spoon. But let's say actually the spoon is the whole thing.
Mm.
Means, because without the spoon, means you can't stir or move things properly. If you can't stir or move things properly, things don't cook properly. Right? So the actual end result of you having your perfectly cooked preparation is all because of the spoon. So the spoon becomes the main element of cooking. So therefore, all the focus is on the spoon, the quality of the spoon, all the things like that. So you've made it into a Mahavakya, but is it actually?
No, It's just a part of
it. No, because the point is this how you use it. Instead of a spoon, a lot of cooks use these little, you know, these things, little tongs, and turn things over with that if they're using a thing, or you could use a spoon, or you could use a... So many that you can use a stick. In China, they use chopsticks. They cook everything with chopsticks. They have big ones like this. They deep fry with chopsticks. You throw in the pakoras, they turn them, they take them out. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of, it's your skill as a cook, but you understand, but because it's not about cooking. It's about establishing the principle that cooking is right. You know what I'm saying? So then you overemphasize something that distracts them from the actual point. Because if they don't study Smriti, then they don't actually know the purpose of the Veda, of the Shruti. And by focusing on a Mahavakya that's not prominent, it distracts you from the actual one that is, right? Because you're having to take people who are very intelligent and bewilder them.
Yeah.
You know, or you can say, as they're already bewildered by the Buddhistic philosophy, but you're bringing them that their authority for their Buddhist goal of Nirvana is based on the Veda. Right, rather than just by not following the Veda and just following Buddhist teaching. So you're having to switch it. Because then the next step will be to remove that illusion and establish the Vaishnava conclusion. Does that make sense?
Or it doesn't, but...
Huh?
Actually, it doesn't make sense, but what you said makes sense.
Oh, okay. No, but it's a plan.
Yeah,
it's a plan. It means, in other words, if somebody's misusing the Vedas, then you take them away from the Vedas till they stop referring to the Vedas. So when you bring them back to the Vedas, then they don't have those misconceptions. You know, it's been, you know, in this case, about 2,500 years. So then when you bring them back, then no one's going to go, well, my grandfather used to do this. Yeah. You know, so you have to leave it a little longer, you know.
Souls coming out of the body. When it happens? Just in the beginning,
after
the
sunspot. Out of the body means out of your body.
Yeah, but when it happens during the time of death?
Whatever. It doesn't really matter. It means when you're changing bodies. I think he goes with you anyway. You know, because super soul would have to be with the ghost also. So it just means when left, or when you go back, when Mahavishnu breathes in and you're inside him, or at night when we sleep and we're in Kirodakshaya Vishnu, or like that, or Garbhadakshaya, then he goes back to his position. Because even Kirodakshaya Vishnu, as expanded as Paramatma, is localized. But Kirodakshaya Vishnu sitting on Dhruva Maharaj's planet, he's Bhagavan, because he's there with all his associates and everything like that. So he just goes back to that position. Is that what I'm saying? So, you know.
Next page it is given.
Next page is given. Okay. Very
good. Third time.
Yeah. That supreme is called the supreme personality. Right? This means that the supreme personality is exhibiting and diffusing his spiritual effulgence, which is the ultimate illumination. That supreme, because ultimate illumination, because all other illumination comes from this. So the light of the sun, moon is all coming. Actually, it's the illumination of the Brahman. That supreme, you know, but it's just a partial manifestation. That supreme personality also has a localized aspect as Paramatma. By incarnating himself as the son of Satyavati and Parasara, he explains the Vedic knowledge as Vyasadeva. Note, Krishna's eternal form is the basis of the Brahmacharya. Bhagavad Gita 14:27. And I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable, and eternal, and is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. Right? The constitutional position of ultimate happiness. That's the position of it. Right? But it's not the happiness. Just like the situation is the situation of happiness. Right? But it's not the happiness itself. Right? When Krishna goes down out with the cowherd boys, being in the forest, that's the situation of their happiness, but it's not their happiness. Their happiness is their interaction. So That Krishna consciousness is beyond Brahman realization is illustrated in Chandragya 8.12.3. So this was 8.12. Oh, it's also 8.12.3. Quoted in full from Baladeva Vidyabhushan's Vedanta Sutra commentary for 4.4.1. So 4 would be the fourth part, which means it would be the Prayojana part. And the fourth pada, so that means the last of the padas. So this would be your concluding everything, naturally. He who through whose grace is released, he through whose grace this released soul, arising from his last body, and having approached the highest light, is restored in his own form, is the highest person, Uttama Purusha. The mukta moves about here, moves about there, laughing, playing, and rejoicing. With women, with carriages, with other muktas of his own period, or of the past kalpas. Right? Because, in other words, of his own period means his peers, his own group, like Prabhupada says. Though there's a branch of the Chaitanya tree in the spiritual world, so the ISKCON devotees are in one group. Mm. Right? At the same time as of those of past kalpas, then your previous acharyas and on back. You know what I'm saying? Rupa Goswami's always been there. He comes down and visits us, you know, when Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. You know what I'm saying? So, but he's always there. So he's there from past kalpas, like that. So great is his ecstasy that he does not remember even the person standing near him, nor even his own body. And as the charioteer is approached, appointed by his master to drive the carriage, just so it, the prana, appointed to drive this chariot of the body. Okay. I would so much prefer if they used British punctuation. Because you get a few more commas, it would be so much easier. Okay, so here then, Mataji pointed out, is then in the last body, then he leaves that, then he goes to the spiritual world. And the Lord, you know, is restored to his own form. Paramatma doesn't have to stay with you anymore, so he goes back to his own natural form, which is Bhagavan. So in that form, then the living entity is interacting with the Lord and those associates. Right? And it's saying here, he's so absorbed in that, he doesn't even remember what's going on. He's not even absorbed in his body or what's happening around him. It's just about Krishna and his part in that pastime. So the life heirs, the prana appointed, the life heirs itself just moves the body around and does. So you don't have to be actually that aware. Like here, if you're not aware, you're always going to stub your toe, bump into something, this and that. But there, it doesn't happen. Or you just stub your toe. Okay. Yeah, okay. You know, so you don't have to worry about those things. Three. Srila Prabhupada's translation of the first line of the Chandogya Shloka gives a different viewpoint. That soul who arises from the body into the spiritual sky is the super soul. The explanation is found in Sattvata Tantra 1.36. Because he resides, Usha, in the home, poor, of the Virat Deha, the body of the universal form, the Supreme Lord is called Purusha. Yeah? Pur Usha means the home, the Pura, right? Mm-hmm. So, Pura Usha. Okay. Therefore, there is no contradiction. Just as the jiva leaves the physical body and passes through the Brahmajyoti on his way back to the abode at the time of liberation, so the Uttama Purusha, super soul, leaves the universe at the end of the cosmic manifestation and passes through the Brahmajyoti to return to Mahavishnu, the source of the Garbhadaksha and Kiradaksha Purusha avatar expansions. Right? So here, whether you're taking it as the living entity, but I don't see that there's a difference here.
The difference between
the two renditions. The two, because in both, it means, the one is just talking about the super soul, the other one's talking about the super soul and the jiva. Yeah. So it may be that the Mayavadis, it's brought out this point because the Mayavadis will say that this one who's merged, going back into that supreme person is themselves, because they are the, you know, they are Narayan, like that. So it could be because of that, then this is being brought out. Trishloka summary. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:11-9. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Uddhava, due to the influence of the material modes of nature, which are under my control, the living entity is sometimes designated as conditioned and sometimes as liberated. In fact, however, the soul is never really bound up or liberated." Because if you're not bound, you're not liberated. Does that make sense? You don't have to be, you don't call yourself, the common person on the street doesn't say that he's liberated from, he's, I'm not in prison. He doesn't walk down the street and go, wow, what a great day, I'm not in prison. But you never were in prison. Yeah, but you know, it's not one of the things people sit around and talk about. In fact, however, the soul is never really bound up or liberated. And since I am the Supreme Lord of Maya, which is the cause of the modes of nature, I also am never to be considered liberated or in bondage. Because he's the controller of that which controls others. So he's not that he's become liberated or he can ever be bound. You know, he's just the natural, how you say, existing in brilliance, right? So it means his pastimes are wonderful, and it also means he's a, that you could take from that Chandogya Upanishad, situated within the Brahman, right? Because brilliance, the Brahma Jyoti is brilliant, but the pastimes themselves are actually what's causing that brilliance, right? Because the interaction, those qualities that are manifest in the interaction, that's what's brilliant. Because that's what the Brahma Jyoti is. It's the effulgence of Krishna's qualities. Right? Does that make sense? So when Krishna expands his internal potency, then in rasa they interact. Interacting, those qualities are manifest in their perfection. So the Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence of the perfection of those qualities. Does that make sense? So then you could say it means both. You know, existing in brilliance means your situation, but existing in brilliance means he's always engaged in these perfect pastimes. Just as a dream is merely a creation of one's intelligence, but has no actual substance. Does that make sense? So you're not actually controlled by your dream, but you can decide to want to get absorbed in your dream. So therefore Krishna can come by his own will, come under the influence of Yoga Maya, so that he takes part in that also, like that. But at the same time, it's free will, because he's simultaneously Mugdata, you know, which he means he's under this control, and Sarvagya, where he's all knowing. Right? Otherwise, you know, Vishwanath makes the point, how does he hear our prayers? He's so absorbed in Vrindavan and the pastimes, then how would he hear our prayers? Right? Because he's also Sarvagya. Similarly, material lamentation, illusion, happiness, distress, and the acceptance of the material body under the influence of Maya are all creations of my illusory energy. Right? And the soul decides to work under that illusion. So, but the soul is still the same soul in the same position. It's just his consciousness, he's allowed himself to come under this. So we say he's illusioned, or he's bound by this illusion. Because he doesn't want to give it up. Even when we come in contact with Krishna consciousness, we see, okay, this is great. But then there's always little details that we're not so willing to let go of. Right? In other words, material existence has no essential reality. It's not substance. Means that all this stuff is here. But why is it here? Why do we have the house? There should be a house?
Desire.
Right? Yeah, there's desire, there's the needs, there's the interactions that go on, there's everything that happens. Right? So, the point comes up is that what we call the house, this is my shelter, this is my castle, this is my, you know, whatever I call, I identify the house, that's not actually that, because the soul has nothing to do with that. What shelter is a house, a bunch of wood or bricks or stone giving to the soul? Nothing. So in actuality, there's no real reality. But there is a house there. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? And the reason that there's houses there, because there's houses in the spiritual world. Right? But there, it's situations to serve Krishna. Right? So serving Krishna is real. Therefore, then, if anything connected, it becomes real. That's why when the house is engaged in Krishna's service, then it takes on a sense of reality. But only while it's engaged. As soon as it's not engaged, it's not. Does that make sense?
Interesting.
Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, you're there, the kirtan's going on, the devotees are there serving prasad, it's spiritual.
Yeah.
Like that. And then when the last devotee lands, wow, that was a great program, it's so nice, and this and that, and then you walk into the kitchen and notice what a mess the devotees left. It's kind of like, you know, oh, I think I invite these guys over, they make such a mess in my house. But at that moment, then it's gone back to being just a house. Yes.
I heard that when we're doing Harinam, we're actually purifying the street. So even if someone
just
comes...
the street.
I mean,
what about the windows there that have all the mannequins in that everybody's kind of looking at themselves, seeing if they're all right? Are those spiritualized also?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
But maybe the sound bounces off and then goes to the other side of the street, so the people over here hear it better. So you're saying even just by walking on the street...
That someone else could be walking later on the street and actually receive some benefit.
But then you'd have to then define the formula for how long does it stay like that before the material energy slowly moves in? Or is it like permanent?
Kind of hoping you would.
So I mean, like Times Square is still spiritual because the devotees did Harinam there, or, you know, Oxford Street, and, you know, there, or around the Eiffel Tower, and, you know, because these places then now are, you know, is that, what is it? How do you call it? Samsalis or something? Samsalise. So that's spiritual now. No wonder everybody likes it, right? You know, so it's things like that. But now the question is, because the devotees never do Harinam that I've heard of on Staten Island, so does that make the Statue of Liberty? It doesn't become spiritual, though the Eiffel Tower does, because devotees do a Harinam. They also don't do Harinam at the Taj Mahal, so that's also, so it's just, see, so France is special. Their, you know, national icon is, you know, Harinam's there, so. I would take it that those who are there, it becomes purified, so therefore, you know, people, there may be some, you know, effect if they're able to appreciate that there's something different about the place, like that. But it's the hearing of the holy name. So naturally there'll be something there. But, you know, it just depends upon if people appreciate it or they just go on as normal. If they go on as normal, then they'll contaminate the area.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just like one takes up the chanting, one's actually liberated. But because of our conditioning, we still think we're not. And so we carry on in the same consciousness and doing the same activities. So therefore, even though the state, then we become covered again. Yes.
Aren't there three stages of chanting? Or three types of holy names?
No, there's only one holy name. It's how we perceive. Just like the deity, there's only one deity. Right, and the deity in the temple. You have Govindaji there. Now, how Rupa Goswami sees it may be a bit different than how we see it, which may be different from how someone else who just comes in and takes darshan and runs off sees it. So the name is the same. It's Krishna says, as you surrender, he reciprocates. So it's a matter of you're dealing with him on a level that you're not understanding the fullness of his manifestation, of his nature. So he only reciprocates with you on that level.
There's Sudanam,
Ramabhas, right.
And then there's chanting that's not without offenses.
Yeah, the clearing. But the point is it's still the same name. Otherwise, why would it be an offense unless it was Krishna? You know, if it's not Krishna or it's hardly a manifestation, it wouldn't be offensive. Like if I sit here and I say rock, 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 it's not a problem because the rock's not there. It's just, this is a manifestation of Maya's energy. But because the name is Krishna, that's why it's an offense if you're not paying attention. So it's a matter of us. See the differences is here is, this comes in here, you have to be very careful. It's just like it's that you have the Buddhistic, you know, sit in your room and keep yourself busy idea is that if there's no one there in the forest, when the tree falls, it doesn't make any sound. So the idea is that I make the quality of the name. If I'm attentive, then the name is pure. If I'm not attentive, the name's not. It's the other way around. Is the name is always Krishna. But now, depending upon our consciousness, then Krishna reciprocates with us based on that. So if you're not attentive, then he reciprocates with us as namabhas or offensive chanting.
When someone who's 2 weeks introduced to the chanting of the holy name, his chanting has the same potency as someone who spent 50 years as a Vaishnava?
But what's your point? See, you're still bringing it back to yourself rather than the name. This discussion's about yourself, not the name.
No, it's about
yourself, because 2 weeks and 50 years, what are you talking about here? We're talking about the name is the name. The point is if the person doesn't understand it, how the name is reciprocating with him is how the person that you're talking to, they're only appreciating that much of it, so they'll only appreciate that much. Just like, let's say, we're in the temple taking darshan of the deities, and I don't notice, let's say, the outfit. And then the person next to me is, you know, kind of there, but I notice the flowers, so then I point to the deity and I say, wow, check out the flower garland. So what does the person notice? The flower garland. So then, based on noticing that, that's where Krishna will interact. See, you know what I'm saying? It means it's not a social thing. It's a matter of dealing with the tattva and with the rasa. Social is not actually the position here. So, and also, it has nothing to do with 2 weeks or 50 years. As people chant 50 years and still may be on namabhas, and someone else is 2 weeks, like you have the acharyas, they just take up the chanting and then immediately they're manifesting ecstatic symptoms. So time and space is not a consideration.
That's the point, though, that some can manifest the name of Krishna, others cannot.
No, everybody can manifest the name of Krishna if they're hearing it in parampara. It's a matter of how much it's manifest. The point is what we're missing here, what you're missing in this point here, is that the soul is sometimes designated as conditioned and sometimes as liberated. However, the soul is never really bound up or liberated. The soul is by nature spiritual. So it's just a matter of the coverings. But if we take the coverings as significant, then we run into a problem. Because the coverings aren't what's significant. That's why the Uttamadhikaris have no difficulty preaching, but others do have problems because they don't make these distinctions. They just say, here's a soul, eternal servant of Krishna, but he's not understanding that that's his position. So I'll talk to him like that. I'll talk to him based on his constitutional position. But we'll tend to take, okay, there's this kind of person, so I deal with him this way and that way, and the conditioning is much more significant for us. So then we'll say, oh, well, he wasn't really sincere, this or that. But the point is, the soul is always, if they're exposed, then, you know, in other words, the Uttama will take, see opportunities that others wouldn't. You know, like that. Oh, Uddhava, both knowledge and ignorance, being products of Maya, are expansions of my potency. Both knowledge and ignorance are beginningless and perpetually award liberation and bondage to embodied living beings. Both beginningless and perpetually award liberation and bondage, right? So the knowledge gives liberation, ignorance gives bondage. So that's all in control of his energies. Like that.
We don't speak about
It can be. It just depends upon. It means you have. Yeah, you'd have to say it would be transcendental knowledge if you're talking liberation. But at the same time, as there are those who take up this position of liberation, but then again go back into bondage because their understanding of transcendental knowledge wasn't complete, so they didn't get to Bhagavan. They only remained at the Paramatma stage. I mean, Brahman stage.
So this knowledge is on your mind.
It means she reveals and not, just like Lord Chaitanya mentioned to Maya that now that he's appeared, now she can remove the covering of on the scriptures, that certain verses that are always there and people knew about, but they didn't mean anything to them. But now she removes that illusion, so now they see them and go, wow, okay. Like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he's there, he's dealing with Lord Chaitanya. And then verses he already knows, now they make sense. Right? So he's sitting there and quoting all these verses, right? And he's not, you know, as such, you know, been trained in devotional service. So he's quoting all the shlokas from the, you know, the Vedas and other places that define the coming of the Lord as the incarnation of the Lord as Lord Chaitanya. Like that, because now they're just revealed. The ignorance is pulled back. Right? So therefore, the revelation of knowledge and the covering of ignorance, Maya controls that. But it's still under Krishna's will. Somebody will do the work. You know what I'm saying? In other words, she's working for Krishna. And so depending how we're interacting with Krishna is how Maya therefore covers or doesn't. You know, so might be some uncovering that there's knowledge that you understand the forms and activities, but it's not enough because it has to be, it uncovers the transcendental position. You know, like the person may be very expert at a skill, but unless he understands how that skill connects to the Lord, it's not going to function. Does that make sense? O most intelligent Uddhava, the living entity called Jiva, is part and parcel of me. But due to ignorance, he has been suffering immaterial bondage since time immemorial. By knowledge, however, he can be liberated. Thus, my dear Uddhava, in the same material body we find opposing characteristics, such as great happiness and misery. Right? Because the knowledge will liberate him, the ignorance will cover him. Right? So that's the influence of Maya. So therefore, this is the influence is therefore there's happiness and distress in the same body because of these two opposing elements.
Right. It means that in the spiritual world there is no knowledge and no ignorance?
No, because basically means knowledge as such where it's how do you say? The mechanical element of elevating oneself to the liberated platform, that kind of knowledge is not important. But it's not that they don't have knowledge and skills, like they know how to cook or sing or these or that, but there's no illusion and stuff about it. Right? So it's very easily learned, you know, and maintained eternally. You know, you don't forget it.
So here knowledge refers to knowledge of what is illusion and what is not?
I would think so. Vidyam cha, like that. Because we're talking Upanishad means, Vedanta means Upanishads. Right? So this being the tree shloki, it's the essence of the Vedanta. So the terminology, the reference that we're using is, will be Vedanta, or Upanishadic. Right, so it means you're bringing out the position of how everything is the same as the Lord, at the same time different, and that interaction means based on if we're situated in the same on the spiritual platform, then that interaction because you're different is the actual cause of transcendental experience. Right, and that's the natural position of the living entity. But we're describing that. We're not describing the process of how you're interacting, or what you would do, or what feelings would be used. Or does that make sense?
Mm.
That your devotional presentations will give.
Mm.
But this is simply establishing the actual position of the Lord and the Jiva and the material energy, the spiritual energy. Right? All those, what is their actual position and relationship? Right? So, and devotional service as it's being superior, you know, that relationship with God as being superior. So it's taking all the aspects of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, but looking at them from their position. Does that make sense? And then once that's all clear, then there's Abhideya and Prayojana. So then there's scriptures that deal with Abhideya and Prayojana. Right? But to be able to do that, you have to be cleared from the material concept that activity that and the results it generates are for me. Once you're free from that, then whatever activity you're doing is for the Lord. So therefore you'll be able to take full advantage of the devotional element and the love of God, right? So, but the difficulty is what gets in the way is our lack of understanding of Vedanta. Because we think the soul and everything is different. You know, from transcendence. We think we're part of material energy. We're the body. We identify with the body. Does this make sense? That is, okay. Thus, my dear Uddhava, in the same material body we find opposing characteristics such as great happiness and misery. That is because both the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally liberated, as well as the conditioned soul are within the body. Right? So here's another aspect, because the Lord is always on the transcendental platform. Therefore, there's the element of the great ecstasy can come along. But at the same time, because the living entity is there and he's conditioned, therefore that's where the misery comes in. Right? So, in other words, things that are done properly in connection with the super soul, whether known or not known, that's what gives your happiness. Those which are done in illusion, that's what gives your misery. Right? Does that make sense? So, also, even if you do something correct, though you don't know it, it will give a shorter term result than someone who's doing the same activity and knows that it's pious. Right? And that will still be less, because it's still within the material sphere, less than someone who's doing that same pious activity, knowing its connection to the Lord, that is pleasurable to the Lord. That gives you an eternal.
Usually we see people who are maybe or whatever, even devotees, but then the happiness is the situation.
Yeah, because the situation is what generates. Because, yeah. Because if you have, it's like this, if you have a good situation, what can you get from a good situation? Okay, now, what defines that you're going to get something from this situation? This is the fun part. It means that the situation is there. Let's say you have a perfect kitchen with everything in it. Now, what defines that you're going to be experiencing a certain aspect from it? What's it dependent upon? Okay, no, let's say, because you said situation, so we'll count that the kitchen is good, the ingredients are good, and your skill is good. So what is actually left that determines whether you're going to interact with this kitchen and get a good result or not? Your own inspiration, your own desire. So what does that mean? That means you are the Lord. So therefore, you just look at it, because I am the person who, I am the doer, therefore if I have the situation, automatically I have happiness. Because whenever I want it, I can take it. You know what I'm saying? Or the kid, he's got, you know, how you say, a box full of candies. So what is the cause of his happiness? He just reaches in and puts them in his mouth. But when he's the one that does that. So therefore, if I have a box of candies, I'm happy. Why? Because anytime I want, I can increase. I can be happy. You understand? But what we're missing is that situation carries the manifestation, the potential manifestations of the Lord's qualities. And so, by interacting, then we're taking part as an instrument in manifesting those qualities. And when those qualities are manifested, that's when we become happy. So that's what it means. Then it's the super soul. Because super soul sanctions. They're his qualities. Right? But they're just pervading it. So that's the Brahman aspect. So when we actually perform the activity, right? So even the Brahman aspect gives us happiness because it's there. It's potential. Yeah, and then we do. But so that's the problem, is we think it's up to me. But that's why Krishna is saying, no, it's your prescribed duties. That if you're supposed to cook, then you're cooking. If you're not supposed to cook, why would you be cooking? Right? So therefore, it defines. So, and in performing your prescribed duties, you know, which is the pious thing, that will manifest it, and it will manifest it at the right time. But you should be doing it for Krishna. So piety is not enough. Right? Piety is just that which manifests more clearly Krishna's qualities. You know, here meaning piety, meaning according to scripture, but piety, just what manifests those qualifications, those qualities. Right? Does that make sense? So even if, but even if they're manifest, we don't see it in relation to Krishna, then it's still illusion. Even though the potency is still coming from the Lord, we're in illusion that we think it's the form that's generated it. So we think the kitchen generated it. Because I have my fancy pots and this and that, that's why it works, you know. Does that make sense? No, but it's your cooking ability. You give the Jamie Oliver pot to someone who doesn't know how to cook, they still burn things. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. Does that make sense?
Back. 10 points.
Okay. Okay, no, I think we'll stop there, because that I said somehow or another the schedule in the with the boys' school is adjusted, and that adjustment has an effect. So that means our class will go from 7 to 8, like that. And so the next sentence goes into the next part. And so now we get into talking about the super soul. So we'll leave that for 10 to 8.
The second one is the same?
Yes, same, still the same.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Sainatai Gaur.